Today we're going to have some fun together in part three of Dead and Gone. And here's where we've been in case you've missed a week or two or you're just jumping in week three. Here's what we've been talking about with Dead and Gone, that all of us at some point in our life or at all points throughout our lives, we have something about us. There's something about me. There's something about that you wish wasn't true about you, or something that I wish wasn't true about me. In other words, there's something that I wish I could leave it in the past. I wish I could leave it in the today. In other words, I don't want to carry it one step further. I want it to be no longer a part of me. The way we've said it is that there's something about me, there's something about I, that I am not the I that I want to be, and I want to change, but I don't know how to change I, right? And it's a weird statement, but that's something that's true about all of us, that at points in our lives, there's something about me, there's something about I, there's something about you that we want to change. We don't want to carry it around any longer. We don't want it to be true of us anymore, but we're not really sure if we know how to change ourselves. And the good news, if you've come to that realization, is that you were never really meant to change yourself. That I was never meant to change myself, that I have a really low ability to change myself. And what we've said from the very beginning of this series is that that is actually a really good place to come, because when we realize that we can't change ourselves, we turn to the one person who actually can change us, and that's God himself. We said that only God can change an I. And we said the bigger deal of it is simply this, that God doesn't really want to change you. God doesn't want to make you different. God doesn't want just a little bit better version of you. God wants the old you dead and gone, like Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift can't come to the phone anymore. Why? Because she's dead and gone. Okay? And just like that, God wants the old you to be dead and gone so that he can raise to life a brand new you found in Christ. Because if we're found in Christ, that's where real life change begins. That's where lasting life change begins. That's where it's not just a change that lasts for a moment or for a season, but it lasts for a lifetime. That change is possible with God. We put to death the old sinful nature and we rise to be a brand new person found in Jesus Christ. So that was week one. Last week we talked about something that I think is a really big deal, and I hope I did an okay job of presenting it, but it's the idea that throughout our lives we tend to kind of fake who we are or pretend to be someone that we're not. In other words, we wear costumes or we wear masks that are meant to impress someone else, but ultimately the end goal isn't to impress someone else. It's to get something from someone else. It's to meet a selfish need, a selfish desire, something that I want satisfied in me and I can't get it on my own, so I'll use you to get it, and I'll fake who I am. I'll cover all the warts, cover all the insecurities, cover all the stuff that you might not like, so that I impress you, so that you will get me what I want. And what we looked at last week is that God actually wants us to drop the mask, to stop pretending, that God will not bless the us that we pretend to be. God will bless the real us. So we said we want to own who we currently are. We're going to refuse to fake who we currently are. If you were here last week, we talked about that. We're going to refuse to fake who we currently are. In other words, I'm going to let all the insecurity out. I'm not going to cover up any of it. I'm going to own it all. But at the same time, I'm not going to fake who I am, but I'm also not going to settle for where I currently am. I want to move forward. So whatever it takes, I want to move forward. I want some progress. And that word progress is a really good word to help us transition into what we're going to talk about today, because today we're going to talk about the word that, in Christian circles, this is a word that kind of bothers me. You know how there's words that just like throughout your life you hear them and it like bothers you? Like for some people, the word banana, they're like, they hear the word banana, it's like, I can't take that. This is a word in Christian circles that just, like, it bothers me, and it doesn't bother me to hear the word, but it bothers me what I know most people mean behind the word. And the word that we're going to talk about today is the word breakthrough. Would you guys all say breakthrough? Oh, you got better than that. Say it like a southern preacher in 90-degree Alabama in the middle of summer, and he's sweating, and he's promising that you're going to get some breakthrough, all right? So let's try breakthrough. All right, you guys would never make it in the South. All right, okay, so we're gonna talk about breakthrough. And here's the thing, when we talk about breakthrough, every one of us, we have a picture in our mind when we hear the word breakthrough. And the picture we have in our mind is that I wanna put a little bit into it, but I wanna get a lot further. Does that make sense? I wanna do a little bit, but I wanna make a lot of progress. Breakthrough means that I don't do a whole lot, but God does a whole lot. That I want big results, but I don't wanna have to put in big effort. I wanna be able to see massive change really quickly. I want the pace of change to outpace like what I'm actually putting into it. Does that make sense? I mean, throughout our lives, whether it's financial, whether it's a fitness thing, whether it's a relationship thing, many of us would say like, look, yeah, I want breakthrough. I want to be able to see big time results without having to put a whole lot into it. Like, I want to see results fast. I want to see improvement or progress fast, and I don't necessarily want to have to put in a whole lot of different extra stuff, but I want to see all the extra stuff. I want progress fast. And here's the thing that I know, and here's the thing that you know. Everybody at some point in their life wants breakthrough. Like at some point in a relationship you're in, at some point with your finances, you may want this. At some point when it comes to a fitness goal or something that's going on, you're going to want breakthrough. Everybody wants breakthrough at some point. And here's the other thing that I know. Everyone who sells something is promising breakthrough. I mean, when you think about this, everyone that you see on Instagram or Facebook or on TV, if they have a goo or a potion or a powder to sell you, they're always gonna, the word breakthrough is always gonna be in that commercial, right? This is the breakthrough new product from blah 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 blah. And if you take this breakthrough product, you'll experience the flat stomach that you've always hoped for. Ooh, well, it's coming up on bikini season. It's not really, I want that flat stomach, so I'm gonna get that breakthrough thing. Or this is gonna tighten your skin and you'll look younger. It's a breakthrough lotion. Well, I would like to look younger. I don't want to look older. And what if I don't use that lotion and I look older, but I could look younger? I want to look younger. It's a breakthrough. It's all a breakthrough. Everyone, and we all want breakthrough. We all want to not have to put a whole lot in and we want a lot out. And at the same time, everyone who's trying to sell you something promises breakthrough. I mean, just imagine this. Like, let's say your finances are not all that great, and you're thinking like, man, I could really use some breakthrough. I could use some breakthrough when it comes to my finances. And just so happens that day, you see a commercial for a financial class or financial curriculum. If you pay attention to this curriculum, for only $49.95 and you come to our classes, you'll experience breakthrough in your finances. Ooh, that sounds nice, doesn't it? If I only have to pay $49.95 to get breakthrough, that's amazing, isn't it? Let me ask this question. Does paying $49.95 make you better at finances? No. It might in the long run if you really pay attention and put into practice what they teach in the curriculum and in the class, but paying $49.95 does not promise breakthrough. That's not your moment of breakthrough. I had a friend in college, he was one of my roommates, and we used to laugh at Christian television. We got this one channel of Christian television, and we would watch it because we were Bible school nerds, and we would watch this channel of Christian television, and there was this guy on there. No joke, I promise you, like one night we were watching, and we saw this guy, and at the end of his program where he like really creepily looked into the camera the entire time as if he was looking into your soul. Like at the end of the program, he said, "Now, if you'd like to partner with my ministry, I have a great offer for you today. I have a whole bunch of pennies that I have prayed over. I call them my miracle pennies. And if you will just buy one of my miracle pennies for $19.95, which by the way, is an incredible rate of return on an investment, right? If you take a penny and pray for it and it gets a 1,995% return, you're doing something good. So he says, if you order this miracle penny, and then if you take it and you put it in your pillow and you sleep on it, I promise you, in some area of your life, there is going to be a breakthrough. Now, my roommate, his name was Bill. He had just about a year before that had started a t-shirt company. Many of the t-shirts that we actually have for our team were made by his t-shirt company. He started this t-shirt company about a year and a half before this. And he had made a decent amount of money. And he thought, you know what? I have $19.95 to spend. Let's order a miracle penny and see what happens. And so Bill ordered a miracle penny, and it came about 4 days later. He had to pay extra for shipping and handling, so this $19.95 penny became about a $23.95 penny. But he took the penny and he put it in his pillow. And I said, "Okay, well, like, Bill, like, what are you going to pray for?" And he said, "I'm going to pray for my first $1 million sale." I said, "Okay, well, what's the biggest sale you've made to this day?" He said, $1,000. I thought, "Okay, that's a big gap. That's a big gap." But So he puts the penny in his pillow and goes to pray, like praying, goes to sleep. A week and a half later, he gets a call from Google that they want to order t-shirts from his company for all of their employees. He goes, "It wasn't quite a million, but it was way bigger than my previous." I'm like, "Is that the penny?" Like, you know, for only $19.95, we don't know. To this day, we're like, miracle pennies might be real. That might be a real thing. I don't know. I'm going to start praying over pennies. All right. Anyway, so here's the thing. Everyone wants some sort of breakthrough when it comes to business, when it comes to finances, when it comes to relationships. We all want breakthrough. And there's always someone who is promising breakthrough. If we will just pay for their thing, do this thing, tithe, you know, like there's always someone promising some breakthrough if we'll just X, Y, and Z. And here's the thing. Today, I want to talk about breakthrough, but I want to talk about what real breakthrough is. And to talk about what real breakthrough is, we have to understand what breakthrough is not. So we have to explore a few misconceptions about breakthrough. Here's the first misconception or misunderstanding about breakthrough. The first one is this. We think breakthrough is something that falls on us. Right? In other words, you could say it this way. We think it happens to us, but it should never require anything from us. Right? Anybody else guilty of this? That we think like, well, breakthrough should be, it should be like a conversation that happens to me. It's a moment. It's like something that good that happens to me, but it should never really require something from me. So we want breakthrough. So we wait for it to happen. We wait for breakthrough. We wait for breakthrough. We pray for breakthrough. We expect that it should come from somewhere else. We think breakthrough comes from a conversation or reading a book or getting motivated by someone. But here's the tricky thing about those moments. A moment does not change you. Let me repeat that because that should have gotten so many amens. A moment doesn't change you. A moment may spark some momentum. A moment may spark some change, but it doesn't in and of itself change you. Paying $49.95 to attend that financial class, it doesn't change you. It can be a spark towards progress, but it doesn't change you. Having a conversation that you might go like, man, I had this conversation and it led to all kinds of change. Okay, well, it's great, but the conversation was not the breakthrough. The change that it led to, that was actually the breakthrough. Does that make sense? We often think like, well, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And eventually breakthrough is going to happen for me. Breakthrough is not something that happens for you. It's something that happens out of something from you. And so we have to understand that. The second thing that is kind of a misunderstanding that we need to address is simply this. As Christians, we're terrible about this. We act like breakthrough exclusively comes from the work of God. From a direct work of God. In other words, if it wasn't clear and visible that like God put his finger into humanity, we're like, well, that's not a breakthrough. That's not a breakthrough. That's not a breakthrough. We are the worst about this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is one of the things like people can be great Christians and still fall into thinking like this all the time. I've talked to so many people over the years, good people who love Jesus, who when they want change or they need something change in their life, they spend a lot of time in prayer when a little bit of hard work and a good long look in the mirror would actually bring more change than their prayer. Does that make sense? And they think like, look, like our marriage just really needs some breakthrough, so pray for us, pray for us. And it's like, no, you don't need prayer. You need to start treating each other better. You know what I'm talking about? Like you actually don't need prayer. Just start treating each other better. I'd rather pray. It's like, okay, all right, okay. I'm trying to lose weight. I could really use some breakthrough, really need some prayer. No. You should probably just realize that you're not 22 anymore, and so you can't eat like you're 22 anymore. Can I be honest? Like for me, this is the thing. Like when I was 22, someone told me like, look, hey, you can eat like that when you're 22, but someday you're gonna turn 25 and your metabolism is gonna change and you won't be able to eat like that anymore. And I thought, okay, well then I'm just gonna really enjoy it for these next 3 years. And guess what happened when I turned 25? Nothing. No change in my metabolism. I was like, sweet, I beat Father Time. Father Time, it has nothing on Chris. Nothing happened to my metabolism when I hit 25. Guess what happened when I turned 27? Metabolism changed. And guess what didn't change for 7 years? The way I ate. And so many, it was like, man, God, would you help me to lose some weight? God, would you help me to lose some weight? And God's going, hey, would you look at the way you eat? I'm not gonna magically drop 40 pounds off of you when you won't give up Mountain Dew. Well, okay, that's interesting, God. You know, what you like breakthrough, we act like it can only come from the work of God, come from God intervening. And sometimes I think God's looking at us and going, hey, stop praying so much and start doing something. Stop asking me for the thing that's in your power to control. Stop asking me to do the thing that I've already given you the instructions and the directions on how to fix this thing in your life. I mean, often breakthrough is not something that happens to you, but it's something that God wants to do through you or with you. And here's the thing. I say we're the worst about this because as Christians, we have a book called the Bible, and it has about a million examples of what's right when it comes to breakthrough, that breakthrough actually is possible. But we have for so long taught it wrong. People who do what I do and people who do make a living doing what I do have taught breakthrough so wrong. We have a million examples of what's right and we've chosen to teach what's wrong. And so here's the thing. Let me give you one example from the Old Testament. There's a guy named Joshua. In the Old Testament, Joshua, he's leading the nation of Israel as they enter into the promised land. And in a moment, in Joshua chapter 6, they have what's called the Battle of Jericho. And it wasn't much of a battle at all. It was this incredibly strong city, fortified walls. They thought, there's no way we can do this. And God says, no, you're going to do it. Do what I say and go do it. And so they walked around the city and it was ridiculous. And they walked around the city and it was ridiculous. And they walked around the city once a day for 6 days. And it was ridiculous every day. And on the seventh day, God said, now I want you to walk around this city seven times, and on the seventh time, just start yelling, and the walls are going to fall down. They're like, that's ridiculous. And God says, I don't care if it's ridiculous, just do it. And they did it, and they won this battle against this city they shouldn't have never defeated. And in the next chapter, Joshua chapter 7, they get so confident, they see this other little city with no walls and no strength, and they go, well, let's just go take that. We're going to take that. It's the next stop. Let's go take that city. And in between Jericho and this city called Ai, there was something that had happened that Joshua didn't know about. There was sin in the camp. Somebody had taken loot that they were not supposed to have taken. And so they go and they face this village, this small little village that they should beat in their sleep. And they get their pants beat off. I mean, I don't know if they wore pants back then, but they got their tunics beat off of them. I mean, it was terrible. It was so bad that Joshua was so embarrassed as a leader. He went and he starts yelling at God and praying to God. He says, God, you promised this. You promised to give us the land. You promised this and then you promised this. And he's praying and he's saying, God, if you won't go with us, I'm not even going to do this anymore. And he gets it all out and God taps him on the shoulder and says, hey, why are you praying about this? There's sin in the camp. And until you address the sin in the camp, your prayers are pointless. And here's the thing. Here's the thing we learned from that text like that. That you can't pray your way out of a situation that you have behaved yourself into. That God actually wants us to get moving, to follow him, to follow what he has asked us to do, more than he wants us to pray for breakthrough. He looks and says, look, breakthrough is on the other side of your action. Breakthrough is possible, but it's not possible just through prayer. It's not, he's looking, look, I want to do something for you, but I want to do something for you with you. And I want to do something for you through you. I want you to be involved in the process. And so today, what I would like to do is I would like to say, look, I don't think breakthrough is impossible. I think breakthrough is absolutely possible. But it doesn't happen the way that Christians and the way that people like me and people who do what I do have been doing for teaching for years and years. It happens in a very different way. And so today what I'd like to do is I'd like to read a passage from the book of Philippians. Philippians was written by a man named Paul. Would you guys say Paul? He's written by a man named Paul. And Paul was a guy who became a Jesus follower. At one point, he was really resistant to the idea of Jesus. He actually was alive when Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. But he was part of a group called the Pharisees who was really resistant. They said, no, we don't think he actually rose. We don't think he rose. And he was actually at one point, he was resisting and he was trying to stomp out Christianity. Until one day, risen Jesus appeared to him on his road, on his journey to go kill some and arrest some Christians. And so when you're stopped in the road and made blind by the risen Savior that you are claiming didn't raise from the dead, you go, okay, oh yeah, I was wrong. And Paul became a follower of Jesus. He became incredibly passionate, and he traveled the ancient world spreading the news about Jesus, about his death and his resurrection and the new life that was offered through Jesus Christ. And so he went from city to city to city to city. And one of the cities that he stopped in was a city called Philippi. And so he preached. Some people began following Jesus, believed in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then Paul moved on. But he would continue to write letters saying, like, hey, you probably have some questions. Or sometimes they would write letters, ask some questions, and he would write a letter back addressing the questions that they had asked. And so the book of Philippians, what we know as the book of Philippians, is actually Paul's letter to the Philippians addressing the questions that they had as followers of Jesus Christ. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, this is one of what I think is the most life-changing passages in the entire New Testament. I want to read it to you today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, it says this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached, what's that next word?
Perfection.
Yeah, Paul's going, look, I don't mean to say that I'm perfect. Like, this is Paul who's like, hey, look, I've got a lot of things figured out, but I'm not perfect. I've figured out a lot of what it looks like to follow Jesus and to love God and to work for God and to discover my purpose. Like, I've figured out a lot of that, but I don't have it all together. I am not perfect. And then he says this, but I press on. Would you say press on?
Press on.
He says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possess me. In other words, Jesus did something for me long before I did anything for him. So let's get that out of the way. Jesus already did the greatest thing that anyone could ever do for another person. He died for me. He laid down his life for me. He went to a cross for me. He was brutally killed for me. That's what he did for me. That's what he did to take possession of me. That's what he did to take possession of you, by the way, that he died for you. He died a bloody, brutal death on a bloody and brutal cross for you and for me. That's what he did for you, to pay the price for your sins and for mine. He says, because Jesus did something for me long before I did anything for Jesus, in response to that, I press on. Because I here's where I'm at, and I've come a long way, but here's where I have to go to reach the perfection that Jesus has for me, that God has for me, that there's something else, there's something further, that yeah, I've come a long way already, but I'm not there yet. I've come a long way already, but I'm not where I want to be. I've moved in the right direction, but I'm not where I want to be. And since I'm not where I want to be, I press on. And we think of press on like, well, that's just, you know, like an easy, you know, then take the next step, take the next step, take the next step, take the next step. No, press on means, look, even when it's difficult, I press on. Even when it's difficult to pray, I keep praying. Even when it's difficult to hope, I keep hoping. Even when it's difficult to believe, I believe that press, in this word, it means actively pursuing forward motion. That when something pushes back against me, I continue to pray. I don't shrink back because something pushed back. I don't shrink back because something got difficult. I keep pressing on. I press on. I'm actively pursuing moving forward. I'm not waiting for change to come my way. I'm actively pursuing it. I'm going all in. Whatever it takes to move forward, that's what I'm willing to do. And then notice that word perfection. Let me just ask this question. Anyone in here perfect? Cool. So we all have work to do. Awesome. So verse 13 says this: "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." In other words, look, there is some stuff in my past. And Paul, if you're thinking like, well, you know, I've got a capital P past. I've got an all caps past. Guess what? Paul had a all caps and 17 point font past. I mean, he had the past where he literally had spent a good chunk of his life arresting and persecuting and killing Christians. And now he's showing up and he's preaching to Christians. And imagine that's your past. And you're going, "Hey guys, I want to tell you about the love of Jesus." And people are like, "Yeah, tell us about it, guy who murdered my aunt, guy who arrested my brother." That was Paul's past. That was Paul's story. So if you think, well, hey, I've got a story that's too big for God to do something about, Paul killed and arrested and persecuted Christians, and God chose him and God used him in incredible ways, and God saved him and moved him from his past, and he can do the same for you. He says, look, I'm going to forget the past, because, like, who wants to remember that? Who wants to hold on to that? I want to leave that in the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. And he says this, he says it again: "So I press on." Would you say press on again? "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me." Now, you think like, wait, he said that same thing twice. Yeah, when Paul repeats a phrase twice in a short span, it's because he thinks that phrase is a big deal. So, Paul, what's like a big deal when it comes to life change? Press on. Paul, what's something to focus on when it comes to my relationships and making them really better? Press on. Paul, I can't seem to break this addiction. What should I do? Press on. Paul, I'm praying for breakthrough. Press on. Paul, I just need God to do something to show up in my finances. Press on, press on, press on. What are you supposed to do? Press on. We press on. We press on. We press on. Paul says, look, if you want to know how to leave the past in the past and to move forward into the future that God has for you, you have to press on. Stop looking at the past. Stop paying attention to the past. Press on into the future that God has for you. He says, look, I press on because I know there's a heaven. And even if I don't reach perfect, I want God to look at me when I reach heaven, when I reach eternity. I want him to say, look, hey, you poured everything that you had into moving forward. When Paul mentions a heavenly reward, he's mentioning someday God's going to say to me, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't reach perfection, but you poured everything that you had out so that you could move forward and that you could reach the next step and the next place and the next place and the next place that I had for you. So I press on. And then in verse 15, he goes on to say this. He said, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. In other words, if we're spiritually growing, if we're trying to become people who are spiritually mature, Paul says, look, we all have to get to a point where we agree that there is an idea of that, a value of pressing on. He says, if you would disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. Then he says this, but we must hold on. Would you say hold on? We must hold on to the progress that we have already made. We must hold on. You think, wait. I thought we were supposed to press on. Yep. But now he says we're supposed to hold on. Yep. Well, which one is it? Both. See, here's what Paul knew that I think many of us, we would say we've figured out at some point along the round. That we take ground, we move forward, we take ground. Next step. I'm pushing forward. But I also don't want to lose what I've gained. I don't want to lose the ground that I've already gained. See, here's what I know. The most dangerous place of change is when you're in the middle. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I mean, let's talk, I think weight loss is a really good one to talk about this. Let's say you set a goal that you're going to lose 30 pounds, right? And let's say you've lost 7. And when you've worked hard for 6 weeks or for 8 weeks or 12 weeks or for 4 months and you've lost 7, but you haven't lost 30, and your clothes aren't fitting yet the way that you want them to fit, and you're thinking like, hey, is it worth all the effort if I haven't reached my goal yet? Paul says, no. It's still, you keep pressing on, but you also don't give up. You don't give up what you've, like, because what Paul knew and what I figured out is like, look, it's a difficult thing when you've not yet reached the goal that you set out for. It's difficult to keep pressing on, and if we don't keep pressing on, if we don't hold on, we can easily lose the discipline or lose whatever it was that we've actually gained. We can get so disappointed with not getting there that we forget that we're not there yet, that we're not still there either. Does that make sense? Paul says, look, you may not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be either. And so you hold on to the progress that you've made. It may not be happening as fast as you wish. It may not be happening at your speed. Your goal may not be coming at the pace that you wish it was coming. But that doesn't mean it's not coming. That doesn't mean you can't get there. So you hold on, you press on, you keep moving forward, but you don't give up what you've already gained. You press on, you hold on. 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 He says, look, we work hard to move forward. We don't give up when it gets tough. We work hard to get better at relationships. We don't give up when relationships aren't easy. We have to work hard to get our finances in order. We don't give up when finances don't naturally get easier. We work hard and we don't give up what we've already gained. We work hard, we don't give up what we gained. We press on and we hold on. So hey, today here's the thing. When we talk about breakthrough, here's what breakthrough really looks like. From this passage of scripture, here's a new definition of breakthrough. A breakthrough is the result of consistent behavior in the right direction. Breakthrough is the result of consistent behavior in the right direction. I press on, I hold on. I press on, I hold on. I press on, I hold on. Spiritually, if you want to grow in your relationship with God, it's press on, hold on, press on. Hold on. I'm going to consistently move in the right direction. I'm going to consistently take the next right step that God has for me. I'm going to press on when it's difficult, when it's easy, when it's really tough, when it's really easy, when it's somewhere in between. I keep pressing on and I'm going to hold on. I'm going to press on. I'm going to hold on. When it comes to your relationships, I press on. I hold on. I press on. I hold on. When it comes to your finances, when it comes to your employment, when it comes to your education, when it comes to breaking the habit, I press on. I hold on. I press on, I hold on, I press on, I hold on. That each day I wanted to get just a little bit forward. I wanted, like, I'm not gonna get to perfect. I'll probably never get to perfect, but I can get better. I'm never gonna get there, but I can get better. I'm not gonna ever have a day where God just goes like, wow, perfect day. Woo! You have achieved everything. We can just take you to heaven now. You're perfect. I'm not ever gonna get there, but I can get better than yesterday. I can be better than yesterday. I can be better than yesterday. See, here's the thing. When it comes to this, when I mean, so much of my life right now is in my little girl. She's about to be 17 months old, and she's experienced, like, every day there's like a little mini breakthrough. But there's some of those things that are kind of like bigger deals that, like, you really notice more. And there's a couple that I've noticed, like, when Nova was learning to walk. You know what she did a lot before she learned to walk? Fall. Yeah, it rhymes with crawl. She crawled some, she fell a lot. And so I noticed this thing that happened. It was like fall, 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 try, 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 fall, walk. And I did a little research on this because I was like, wow, she fell a lot. It's like her face always bruised up, legs always bruised up, arms always bruised up. It's like, wouldn't it be easier just to not try because you can't do it? And then I found this article that said for a baby who's learning to walk, they need to fall 10,000 times before they will before they'll ever walk. But it's trying. It's trying. Trying and failing. Trying and falling. Trying and falling. Trying and falling. But I'm trying in the right direction. I'm trying to get better. Every time she would fall, it was just a little bit better. It's like, okay. You were so close. And then, you did it. It's fall, 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 fall. Walk. And now she's starting to like learn to talk, right? Like she's getting more and more words. And I remember like the first time she said dada, I was like, oh my gosh. This is amazing. She's going to start like developing a whole dictionary of words any second now. And you know what she did after she learned the word dada? She said the word dada constantly for like the next 3 months. And so here's what I've learned. When it comes to babies and learning new words, it's gibberish, 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 trying new things. Blah, 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 mama. Ooh. Mama, 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 blah, 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 blah. Hi. Oh, it's try, 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 breakthrough. Work, 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 breakthrough. Work, 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 breakthrough. When we were on vacation a little bit ago, we got a video from Jalen's parents who were taking care of Noble when we were on vacation because we went on vacation without our baby because we're really cool. Anyway, so we've been trying to get her to use utensils, right? And if you've ever watched a baby use utensils, it's ridiculous. It's the stupidest thing in the world. Like, hey, let's give this baby a spoon. No, you're giving them a mini rocket launcher. That's what you're doing, okay? So we were like, well, let's give her a spoon, and she would, you know, get food, throw it all over the place, get, you know, push the food off the plate, off her tray. And I'm like, this girl is never gonna get utensils. She's never gonna figure it out. But we figured out it's like food all over, food all over the place, food all over the place, food all over the food all over the place. And then one day we got the video, pancake on a fork in the mouth. And I was like, praise you, Jesus, breakthrough. We've experienced breakthrough, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So if you want some breakthrough, I'm just kidding, all right. So this is what breakthrough looks like. It's consistently moving in the right direction, consistently trying in the right direction. And we might fall, and it might sound like gibberish, and it might look like a whole bunch of mess going all over the place. But if we're working to get better, working to more accurately follow Jesus in what he wants for us, we move in the right direction. And eventually, what looks like breakthrough is really the result of consistent effort in the right direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what breakthrough is. So as I was like, looking up some of this, as I was preparing this week, I was looking up some statistics, and I was reading a lot about divorce. Now that don't worry, like I was just reading for I was looking up some stuff, and I found some interesting statistics on divorce. So I want to share with you my interesting Googling about divorce this week. Anyway, here's the thing: I set that up in the weirdest way. Today, here's the thing. In our world today, the average divorce happens sometime shortly after year 7. Doesn't mean every divorce happens at year 7, but it means the average divorce is going to happen somewhere around year 7. Now, there's also some interesting statistics this article showed. And they weren't trying to make a point. They were just saying this is what the research shows. Said this, the average divorce takes a year to process once it's filed. Now, we're back to year 6. People report that on average, they personally decided on divorce 2 years before they filed. Year 4. Same people reported that they were considering divorce for 2 years before they decided. We're at year 2. Now, here's something every married couple will tell you in the first 5 years, 5 to 10 years of their marriage. What's the hardest year of marriage? Your first. Your first is the worst, right? Like, so I'm like, that's an encouraging line. For all of you who are thinking about getting married someday, just know the first year is kind of rough. You're getting used to living together. You're used to, you know, making all kinds of decisions. Like, it's a difficult year. So year 1, really hard. And by year 2, we're considering divorce. We're thinking about it for 2 years. And then we're pretty well decided that we're going to go through it for 2 years. And then we file. And here's the conclusion that I came to. Most people who get divorced give up well before marriage has a chance to get better and develop the right habits.
Right.
Now, that I hope that doesn't sound condemning in any way to anyone in here if you've ever experienced divorce. That's not my intention at all. But for any of you who are in a place where you're thinking, man, marriage is rough. Marriage is difficult. Like, when does it get easier? Here's the thing. It never gets easier, but it gets better when your behavior towards each other does. You're thinking, I just need breakthrough, I need something for them to change. Well, maybe, just maybe, God wants something in you to change first. Maybe more than praying for breakthrough, maybe we've got to do a little bit of a look in the mirror and go, God, is there anything in me? And if there is anything in me, would you give me the wisdom to see it and the courage to address it and the courage to stay with it and the backbone to do it day after day after day? Because I may never get perfect. I'm never going to be the perfect husband, never going to be the perfect wife, but I can be better than yesterday. I can be more encouraging than yesterday. I can be more helpful than yesterday. I can be more helpful with the kids than yesterday. I can actually pick up my laundry better than I did yesterday. I mean, husbands, let's be honest. We have this little mental competition we do where we're like, I'm going to try to see how far, how far away can I get my socks in the hamper? And we always miss. And we often leave the socks on the ground. So what if your 1% better tomorrow was just like, look, I may not be perfect, but today I'm picking up the socks. I'm telling you what. You never know what the moment of breakthrough is, but what if your moment of breakthrough starts with, today I'm picking up my socks. Today I'm actually going to clean the toilet. Today I'm going to take my dishes, and instead of just plopping them down in the sink, I'm going to rinse them and put them in the dishwasher. Who knows where the breakthrough starts, but it definitely starts with a little bit of movement. Here's another thing that I thought was really interesting. I also looked up a lot of statistics on smoking this week. So if you're thinking, like, man, Googling smoking and divorce, that's what we do at this church, all right? My research was about people who try to quit smoking, all right? And here's one of the fascinating things, that 91% of people who try to quit smoking fail in the first 2 weeks, right? I mean, if you've ever tried to quit smoking, if you've ever been a smoker and tried to quit, it's a very hard thing to do. And you know, most people, they say it takes somewhere between 8 to 12 times trying to quit before they actually quit. But they said 91% of people who try to quit smoking fail in the first 2 weeks. This was a really interesting statistic. 71% of people who make it past 2 weeks actually do quit. Here's another stat. It takes 21 days to develop a new habit. Most people who fail at quitting quit quitting before the time that it actually takes to legitimately quit. So what is it like, okay, those are really fun statistics, Chris. What does that have to do with anything we're talking about? We press on. We press on. We press on. We press on. The cravings are going to be really bad at day 12, but we press on. We press on. Marriage is really difficult year 3. We press on. We press on. We press on. School isn't going the way I thought it was. I feel like I'm working as hard as I can. If you've got a little bit more to give, you can press on. The job is bad and it never seems to be going, like, I just never seem to get the attention or the respect that I deserve. You press on. You press on. You press on. I just always feel like I'm really, really lonely. You press on. You press on. You press on. So you're thinking, okay, well, that's really interesting. If I had one takeaway from this, here's the takeaway. It's my job to be faithful. It's my job to be faithful. It's my job to be consistent. It's my job to pay attention to what does God expect from me and then to do that thing consistently. My job is to be faithful, and it's God's job to be fruitful. Amen. My job to be faithful, God's job to be fruitful. So what does it look like? It looks like on Monday, I want to wake up. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and I want to be faithful. And on Tuesday, I want to wake up and I want to be faithful. And on Wednesday, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful, 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 faithful. Are you guys catching on with what this looks like? That every day I wake up and I make a decision. I'm going to be faithful, 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 faithful. And then God's going to bring fruitful. Does that make sense? Let's think. This sounds a little bit ridiculous. You guys even laughed at me a little bit. I can't believe you guys would laugh at your pastor. But here's the thing: it's faithful, faithful, faithful. Yo, can you join in? Faithful, 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 day after day, faithful, 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 fruitful. That's what God does. That's how God brings breakthrough, by us consistently doing the things that he has already given us to do in our relationships, in our finances, in our education, whatever stage of life you're thinking like, man, I just need some breakthrough. It might mean that it begins with one day of faithfulness, and then another day of faithfulness, and then another day of faithfulness, and then a week of faithfulness, and then a month of faithfulness. And after a month of faithfulness, 2 months of faithfulness, three years of faithfulness, there's some fruit and there's some breakthrough. See, I think breakthrough is possible. It doesn't look the way most of us think it looks, but it's possible for you. It's possible for me. It's possible for any different area of your life that you're hoping God will intervene in. And I think maybe, just maybe, God wants to intervene through your faithfulness. Right. And as you begin to be faithful, God will bring the fruitful. And that's good news. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about relationships. And if you're thinking, that's an interesting thing to talk about, we got Thanksgiving meals coming up, right? You're going to have some difficult people that you're going to be dealing with. So we're going to talk about how we get better at dealing with some of the difficult people in our lives. Because if not, some of those difficult people can become relationships that are accidentally dead and gone. And we don't want that. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. I double dog dare you to join us to make sure that you're here next week. But let me pray for you before we leave for the day.